Don't get distracted by the stock market. The market story of the week really is bonds crumbling with inflation in sight. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose more than 200 points, 0.8% yesterday, it's up another 148 points, 0.6% this morning. The S&P 500 up about 0.2%. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up just a bit, 3 points at this point. Some of this are forecasts that accompanied profits reports this morning from some of the big banks, such as J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. Predictions of higher profits ahead with the tax overhaul in place. But the glitter of stocks this week is masking the sorry sounds coming from the sagging bond market. When bond sags, yields go up to make those bonds attractive to buyers, which in turn is a proxy for interest rates. On Many a Friday, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Hey, man, I'm sorry about your bond market. When last we spoke at the end of last year, that benchmark, the 10-year yield, was at 2.4%. You come back from a couple days off, I'm handing you back a yield at 2.58%. What happened to the bond market?
Yeah, my goodness. What did you do, David? Look, here's what happened in the bond market. Bond traders are essentially the grumpiest people in finance. If they're in a bad mood, it's generally because things are going well in the economy, and that's exactly what's going on. Bond yields rise when inflation fears rise, and inflation expectations increase when the economy is strong. And we're now looking at potentially that the third consecutive quarter of 3% growth for the first time since 2014.
You see this in retail sales figures. We got some today.
That's right. Today's retail sales, December was as expected, and we were all expecting a pretty good month. But October was revised up a little bit, and November is an absolute blockbuster. Excluding cars and excluding gasoline, focusing in on holiday sales, November sales were revised to 1.2%. And to give you an idea of what that does, for the quarter as a whole, we're looking at growth annualized of more than 8%, the strongest Christmas sales since 2005.
All right, inflation. I mean, should we be worried about debilitating inflation if we're out there trying to make a buck?
No, absolutely not. And that, I think, is the first thing to put into perspective. At the moment, excluding the volatile food and energy components, inflation is still growing less than 2%. What the market is worried about is it might rise to 2.5%. In the meantime, wages are expected to accelerate from 2.5% to about 3.5% this year. So living standards will rise. It might be a little more expensive to buy stuff, but people will have a lot more money to pay for it.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Chris mentioned higher retail sales out this morning, but if so, where do we get the money for that spending? A new report from creditcards.com says that 2 out of 3 Americans with debt are not confident they'll ever be able to fully pay it off. Marketplace's Andy Euler looked into this.
People who have credit card debt in America carry, on average, about $11,000 of it. Tamara Drought is with Demos, an economic policy think tank.
We know that so many Americans have been relying on credit cards, payday loans, to take care of their basic needs.
Even though unemployment's low, wage growth is stagnant, so people don't have that extra money to pay down their debt.
There's kind of this fatalism because supposedly we're, 9 years into an economic recovery, but that is not what it feels like to most people.
But it's not all bad news. Fewer people are delinquent on their credit card payments than in years past, and they say they feel economically healthier this year. But Matt Schultz, one of the authors of the creditcards.com study, says Americans just don't plan around debt.
When you have a lot of debt when times are good, it means that you're probably not putting away enough money to protect yourself when times turn bad.
The study found the older someone with debt is, the less confident they are about their ability to pay it off. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Also, a survey this week finds that the U.S. city with the highest average credit rating is Minneapolis. Number two, Rochester, Minnesota. Number three, Mankato, Minnesota. Duluth came in number six. Credit where credit is due, I might say. Also, there's news Facebook has announced it's reformulating its algorithm for its 2 billion or so users. The social media and advertising company will now prioritize posts to nurture what it calls meaningful social interactions, especially among friends, actual friends, and demote content pushed by companies. Consult the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you missed that analysis on the air. High rents in some parts of the U.S. are altering the calculation of whether to rent or to buy a place to live. There's a new nationwide study on this out with some surprising results. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman fills us in.
Adam Data Solutions reports that about 65% of Americans now live in places, mostly big metro areas, where it's more affordable to fork over the rent every month than pay a mortgage, insurance, and property taxes. More affordable, maybe, but still not great, says analyst Darren Bloomquist.
Comparing whether to buy or rent is really picking the lesser of two affordability evils.
Bloomquist says in popular urban areas, from New York to Chicago to San Francisco, renting is cheaper, mainly because home prices have soared.
Rents have increased, but not to that degree. Renting is the only option for many people to even be able to afford to live in those markets.
Economist Patrick Newport at IHS Market says cities need more living spaces.
The problem is that there's not a lot of new construction, high-rise residential buildings.
It's still more affordable to buy than rent in less densely populated areas, plus big cities like Detroit and Philadelphia, where home prices haven't gone through the roof. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We're also covering the government's online calculator that we're supposed to use to be sure our paycheck is right once the tax overhaul lands next month. Thing is, the calculator's not ready yet, and there's a good chance your company's payroll folks won't get this right on their own. Marketplace.org if you missed that on the air. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.